it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Smash or Pass. Shout out to Steve. Smash or Pass brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu. Casey's Best Steaks now with two locations, 95th and Nall and 135th and Metcalf. Shawnee Mission Ford as well. On a mission to do more online at ShawneeMissionFord.com.
I'll give you credit for the horseradish.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, like on cheesesteaks, the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, are you doing a horsey sauce from Arby's on that cheesesteak? See, I would do the horsey sauce from Arby's on the cheesesteak, but you're like, no, just straight horseradish. I'm like, that's a hell of a play, man. I like that a lot.
That's like horseradish.
Yeah. It's like horseradish, man.
That's like horseradish.
Nah, man, it gives that bite.
Yeah.
You know, gives you that nice little sting in your nostrils. But it is Chiefs and Philadelphia this Sunday at 3:25. If you're ever going to start that revenge tour, this seems like a good one to start it at on Sunday in Arrowhead against the Philadelphia Eagles at 3:25. Again, you can hear all that action here on 96.5 The Fan, Briscoe's pregame, Chiefs Radio Network pregame, then the game itself with Mitch, Danen, and Kling all on the call, and then the postgame again will be Josh Briscoe as well, who joins us all the time, every week on this show. Coming up a little bit later today, we'll have Nate Taylor, ESPN's Chiefs insider, plus we'll have Golden Locks because there's a golden game tonight with Washington and Green Bay. Should be a fun one tonight to get your football week started. Obviously, you get the little off day on Friday. Then we get Tennessee, Georgia, Mac squad going up against Kirby Smart. And then Sunday, the slate of football continues, and it's a big one on Sunday for the Chiefs because, you know, you have a chance to send the Eagles packing at a 1-1 record. You get to come completely redeem yourself with the loss in the first week of the season, a divisional loss. And get to 1-1 and then have a game in New York on Monday Night Football. So you get another, you think about it, your schedule's kind of heavy at the front, but there's a lot of off days between what you're going to play. Because you play Sunday, then you'll have that next week off and play Monday. Obviously, you'll have the travel day, but you played last Friday, came back home. You've had the whole week to regather yourself, and hopefully there's a different outcome in this Sunday's game.
Well, what I think is also interesting, you know, going into this kind of week two, if you will, is that I think we're going to learn a lot more about every team in the league this week. This is I don't want to call it moving week or anything like that, but, you know, week one is kind of a fallacy for everybody. You're not really sure what you're looking at. You only have one, you know, example to take, you know, the stock in. You'll start to see, I think, more. We'll start to kind of understand maybe who's a team that's alive, who's a team that's dead. Like, I think it's an interesting game and an interesting weekend for Detroit, like kind of finding out where they are as an organization. I think tonight's an interesting game too, because if Washington goes out there tonight and gets destroyed by Green Bay, which is very possible, again, we're basing it on week one. Week one doesn't matter, but that's the only thing we have to work on. If Washington goes out there and gets run out of Green Bay by the Packers, what are we saying tomorrow morning about Washington? Well, because they didn't play great against the Giants, and then they go up there and they get beat up by the Packers. You're looking at a team right now, you're going, wow, maybe they have that sophomore slump hangover going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously a huge game for them, for Washington, but also, like, you could flip the narrative too. Like, what are we going to say about Green Bay?
Yeah, right.
You know, Green Bay goes out and gets Micah Parsons. Everyone goes, well, that could have just changed the whole aspect of the team, because last year Green Bay was a bell of the ball for a lot of people, fell short. They seem to have a good receiving core. Jordan Love seems to be the guy behind, you know, manning everything, had a good game in week one against Detroit. And obviously Josh Jacobs still there as well. Like, what are we saying about Detroit or Green Bay?
Yeah.
Are they now a favorite in the AFC? Is it?
What if they go out there and lose too, you know?
Right. And that's the thing too. It's like, if Washington does it, all right, same old Washington. They're going to challenge Philadelphia for the NFC East. Mm-hmm. And then if Philadelphia, if they see Washington win tonight, how much surge does that give for, you know, like a team like Philadelphia. Okay, hey, Washington, they're 2-0. We've got to win this game to keep, you know, close, even though it's a non-conference opponent. It's an AFC opponent, but still, like, to me, it's crazy how these two teams have flipped the way they're going to play each other, because the last time the Chiefs lost in the Super Bowl to Philadelphia, Philadelphia came to Kansas City, Nick Sirianni, you like that, blank Chiefs
right,
fans?
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, they had an edge, they wanted it. Now you've flipped it. Now you've lost to Philadelphia in the Super Bowl. You're playing them again at Arrowhead, and you have a chance to kind of revive yourself against that team that actually waxed you in front of the entire world in New Orleans.
I can't believe Nick Sirianni's a Super Bowl winning coach. I really can't. Like, when you just said that to me right there, yelling at the fans, and I'm thinking to myself, that's a guy who normally does that. Like, if you're a coach and you do that, you're pretty much fired, right? Like, when the season's over, they look at you and they go, you're an idiot. You can't be the face and the leader of an organization, so you need to kind of move on. You need to go somewhere else. You need to find a different line of work. And somehow he survived all of that and survived the fact that he yelled at fans and it was going bad there in Philadelphia, and found a way to bring this team back and win a Super Bowl. I just can't believe him and Andy Reid are tied at two games apiece in this series.
All right, Bob, here's your guy. Steve and George, I believe, on the line. Is that what we got here? Steve, George, both with us? Hello. Hello, hello.
You got George on the line. Can you hear me?
I got you, George. How are you?
Bob, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Doing outstanding. Is this right? You're putting on a volleyball tournament called the George Brett Volleyball Showdown, and you're going to be playing against professional volleyball players? I can't wait to watch this.
Shirtless.
Yeah, I'm playing against them, and I'm going to beat their ass.
Is this going to look? Are you going to be out there looking right. Like Maverick and Goose, yeah, just right. Shirtless?
No, I've retired from every sport but golf. Mm. After playing pickleball and having knee surgery a week later, about 5 years ago, I decided I've had enough of sports, and golf is the only thing I will ever play again. But Stevie came in town, his childhood friend. I've known him since we were like 5 years old. He's a year younger than me, and good friends with his older brother, who I went kindergarten through high school with. And he became a really good volleyball player. And he came in to visit this summer and said, hey, I did this tournament in Newport Beach or someplace last year with a bunch of Olympians, and it was a big hit. Let's see, I want to put one on here. And so we went and looked at the venue, and the next thing you know, after him deciding to do it, he says, yeah, I got a great name for it too, George. The George Brett Invitational. So that's what I'm doing.
So you're just there kissing babies and shaking hands.
I can't wait.
So you
can't wait to see it.
You're not playing though, right?
No. Hell no, I'm not playing, Bob.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure, because I would have loved to see you go against the... It says 24 pros and 7 Olympians, too, that are going to be out there. Steve, tell us who you're bringing into town and tell us who you are.
Lifelong friends with George. I played on the AVP tour for 19 years when it first got involved, when it first evolved. And I've been kind of, you know, not involved in the volleyball community that much. And then I started talking to the younger players, and I said, well, I got to promote some events for you guys. You're not playing every week. So we're instead of doing 2-man tournaments, it's 4-man tournaments. So it's 4 people on the court. It's way more exciting. It's these guys are phenomenal. I got Chase Budinger, who went to the Olympics 2 years ago. Andy Benesh is playing, who went to the Olympics. Phil Dahlhauser, who was a 2016 gold medalist, or 2008. And then I got Trevor Crabb. Taylor Crabb was an Olympic player. So it's all coming together. The girls are really good. They're all the top girls in the AVP tour. Carly Lloyd went to the Olympics in 2020. So it's a good group. It's very exciting. It's not only really great volleyball, it's entertainment. You don't have to understand volleyball to watch it.
And it sounds like you guys are going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be shoulder to shoulder with thousands of fired up fans. There's going to be like a live DJ. We know George will be in the beer garden, food trucks, exclusive merchandise you can get, and the energy of an event like this. What can fans expect to see from a place like this?
Well, it's the whole vibe down there is really cool. You got a bunch of people down there. There's great volleyball. Like you said, there's music, there's food. You bring your young kids down there. There's other volleyball courts down there to play on. Some of the pros will go down there in between their matches and go hang out with the kids or the parents that want some instruction and stuff. So it's like just a really good volleyball vibe down there. And the kids come free, so we charge, and charity is For the Kids, so it goes to For the Kids, a charity that's a local charity in Kansas
City. Good charity, yes.
So it goes to, all the proceeds go there. So it's something that Kansas City has never seen. I really encourage people to go down there and bring their kids and watch what really goes on there. Until you see it, you'll understand it.
You know, you brought up a good charity, Steve, with the For the Kids. I've just recently, in the last couple of weeks, found out a lot about what they do and a lot about the resources that they can provide to people. Can you kind of just talk about that charity that you guys are supporting?
No, George can do that.
Okay, George?
No, I've known. I played in Kevin. You know Kevin Timmons?
I don't know. I don't know, but I know some of the people. You know, that
he's the guy that I play in his golf tournament every year, and Tom Watson plays in it. He's had the funny golf commentator, the English guy. What's his name?
David Faraday.
David Faraday.
David's been there before, and I've gotten to know David through Tom and through Kevin at his golf tournament. I think his golf tournament's like October 5th or October 6th.
It's coming up fast, yeah.
This year. Yeah, it's coming up fast. I'm going to play in that again. But I was just really impressed with what they did. When Steve was looking for a charity, of course, there are so many charities in town, and I've been involved with ALS. And all of a sudden it was, a friend of mine mentioned For the Kids, and I said, yeah, that would be great because I'm really a fan of Kevin Timmons. So we opted to go with Kevin this year.
Awesome. That's fantastic. All right, George, before we let you guys get out of here, you going to the game on Saturday or on Sunday?
No, I'm not. I will be in the comfort of my basement, probably watching it on the big screen TV.
That's the way to do it, isn't it?
My kids all go. Jim and Steve, Steve's brother Jim's in town from Hermosa Beach. He came in for volleyball tournament. So I'm entertaining them. They're not going to go to the game, but they're going to go out and tailgate with my kids.
Very good.
they want to see an Arrowhead.
Well,
they want to see an Arrowhead tailgate.
Well, have them come
and
by the bus.
We've got the best tailgate ever.
Well, we tell them to come by the bus. I'll get in touch with Jackson. We have people from Italy coming in from this game for their second Chiefs game.
No, you don't.
Yes, we do.
Where do you park at, Bob?
We're in Lot G on the west side of the stadium. On the median there. There's the road that kind of goes in between the two stadiums. We're always there. It's a red school bus, has Chiefs on the side. You'll see Ralph out there. He drives the bus, and all of us will be there by, I don't know, 10 o'clock probably. The gates will open about 10:30. We'll go in. We'll be right there. So send everybody over the bus. These folks came in from Italy.
They will. My kids tailgate just west of the football stadium, just west of it.
Okay.
So they're in the parking lot right next to you, I think.
Perfect. We'll find them.
Steve, before we let you go,
I'll tell them to look for the big red. Hey, send me a text to where you guys are, and I'll give it to my kids.
All right,
I'll come over and say hi.
Okay.
And Steve, before we let you guys go, where can this be found? This wonderful 4v4 volleyball thing, and what can and what's everything about this invitation that you're doing, or this event that you're doing this weekend?
Yeah, it's you go to the website. We're doing it at Shawnee Mission Volleyball. So the website is smvb.com, and you can buy the tickets online. If you're just going to show up, you can buy the tickets there at the gate. So they'll have a system, but it's smvb.com.
All right, fellas, take it easy. Take care and enjoy Sunday, guys.
All right, go Chiefs.
Okay,
see you guys.
There's George and Steve. So
there it is.
They couldn't have gotten better weather for a volleyball
game. I mean, my God, it's going to be great out there. Perfect weather.
Coming up on the other side, Nate Taylor of ESPN will join us. Plus, this seems like a really good Spags game. Do we trust him still? I hope so. 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Chris Jones, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Diving right back into it, thanks to George and Steve for explaining everything about their volleyball tournament. I always think of volleyball, I think of just goose and mad, baby. Sunglasses, oiled skin, shirtless, let's go. I love beach volleyball. I just don't have the body for it anymore. I get up the next morning and I can't even walk. You walk in the sand, man. Talk about a workout. Those football players do it in the offseason.
Try running in the sand, man. I tried that one time. Like, I'm going to bring my shoes. I'm going to go run in the sand. Yeah, sure. That's not going to happen.
So we talk about this game against Philadelphia, and it seems like, man, there's going to be a lot of pressure, I think, on a lot of different people. But I think this is a game in which you go back to the old saying of, in Spags, we trust. Because Max in a set stat on Monday about quarterbacks with the most amount of time to throw the football. And number one in the NFL last week was?
That was Jalen Hurts by far. Almost had 4 seconds to throw.
Right.
His A-dot was also extremely low.
Which means he's not throwing at his average depth of pass.
That's hard, right? Yeah, not so, throwing far down the field.
So he's, you know, nickeling and diming his receivers. And saw a little bit of that from Justin Herbert in the game on Friday night in Brazil. And pressure was an issue on Justin Herbert.
Contain was an issue on Justin Herbert, too.
And, again, people will tell you, football people will tell you, and we'll have Nate Taylor on in about 7 minutes, that if you let a quarterback sit back and, you know, read everything and have no pressure, it doesn't matter if it's Daniel Jones or if it's Justin Herbert, they'll find a way to beat you because they'll just, they're professional players. They can sit back. They don't have anything to worry about. But if you can get somebody in his face and contain him, Jalen Hurts may be a different quarterback. Now, he's played very well against the Chiefs in years past. It hasn't been Saquon Barkley. Obviously, the only time they played against Saquon Barkley was in the Super Bowl, and it was not him that beat you. It was yourselves, and it was Jalen Hurts' arm. You have two wide receivers on that team that are very good in Smith and A.J. Brown. Both had what they would consider disappointing games for themselves. I mean, one catch for 8 yards was A.J. Brown. Fantasy owners know that too well. And I think when you look at this game, they've got a lot to prove offensively, and the Chiefs have a lot to prove defensively. And I think both teams would tell you that week one was not a image of what they plan on being throughout the regular season. And this is a game where I think if Spags can draw it up and really do his job and get Jalen Hurts a little shook back there, that's a big ask, right, for Spags to do. You know, rotating those defensive linemen in that you drafted, get pressures, all those things that Mac had mentioned on Monday about the three interior linemen. 68% of the time, zero pressures.
Well, and that's where I'll jump in on you and say, it's not a Spags game. It's a players game. They got to execute. The game plan will be there. It's whether or not the players go out and execute that game plan and play the position that they're supposed to play. Chris Jones didn't do that on Friday night. I don't know what he was doing on Friday night. He didn't show up in the box score. And then on the last play, he's not doing what he's supposed to. I have full confidence that Steve Spagnuolo is going to dial up the right game plan. I have no doubt in my mind he's got the track record to do so. Will the players go out there and execute the game plan? Because nobody gave the Giants a chance to beat the Patriots with Tom Brady. Steve Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator, dialed it up, shut down Tom Brady. How many times has he shut down Tom Brady in some of the best offenses out there right now? So I think this is what we do when we like players. We don't want to criticize those players. We'd rather criticize the coaches. It's easier that way. This needs to be a Chris Jones game. This needs to be a game where Chris Jones shows us why he is the best player on defense in the NFL. And for the last couple of years, really since the gambling thing has become legal in the state of Kansas, I always look at the defensive player of the year odds, right? And I always want to see where Chris Jones is going to be ranked. 2 years ago, he's pretty damn high. Last year, not so much. This year, 66-1 to start the season. This week, 75-1 to be the defensive player of the year. If he's going to be considered by many to be the greatest defensive lineman in the game today, then he needs to play like the greatest defensive lineman in the game today, and he needs to take over this game. Spags is going to give them the cheat code. Spags is going to give them the answers to the test. They have to be willing to go out there and then execute all of that kind of stuff. And so for me, it starts and ends with Chris Jones. I need a Chris Jones game this week. And then George Karlaftis, bro, you got paid. It's like the spotlight's kind of on you now too. Like, they're going to put you in the right position. I don't want to hear that, oh, I just went underneath instead of outside. And like, those are big mistakes that happen in a game that determine the outcome of the game. So I need these guys to go in and, first of all, play sound fundamental football. I know that sounds big. Binkley-like, but that's what you got to do. You got to understand your assignment. Do your job. Don't worry about anybody else's job. Focus on what you got to do. But also, we always talk about the Mahomes magic. I need some Chris Jones magic in this game, man. Everybody's kind of talking about the offense not getting the job done and Worthy being hurt. This defense still gave up 27 points and pooped the bed in the biggest moment possible with your best player possible at the end of the game. I need a Chris Jones game in this one.
I also think this is a heavy linebackers game.
Could
I know Nate Taylor will be on the show because he's getting ready to come on the show. But again, you look at Nick Bolton, your assignment this week is going to be Dallas Goedert. Tranquil, Gelati, your assignment is going to be Saquon Barkley or, you know, spying Jalen Hurts. And to me, it's on those three guys. You brought Nick Bolton back to be a cornerstone of this defense. We remember last year, tight ends early in the season were cooking Nick Bolton. Dallas Goedert is an aging tight end, but he can still do his thing. Saquon Barkley, we know who he is. Tranquil, Chenal, you guys are going to be out there as well, and you can't let Jalen Hurts dictate what he wants to do. If you can put him in a corner and put him back and make him actually think about it and not actually just be back there and comfortable and all that, it's going to be a long day. But let's get to Nate Taylor of ESPN.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break national NFL news.
It's baby laugh.
Here's Nate Taylor from ESPN with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. We dive right into it. Nate Taylor here of ESPN. Nate Taylor, am I right or wrong that I'm putting too much pressure on these linebackers in this crucial game against the Philadelphia Eagles?
No. I think you're doing a good of service to everyone to remind people that the Eagles are built on the threat of running and then the execution of Jalen Hurts to pass the ball when given the opportunity and, of course, the time, like you guys talked about a little bit ago. So, no, I mean, it'd be nice if the linebackers played well in the home opener on Sunday against the Eagles in the Super Bowl rematch. You know, one of the things that I know you guys just mentioned this too, but it was really remarkable how Steve Spagnuolo and the defense in the Super Bowl did such a good job on Saquon Barkley that you thought you were going to put Jalen Hurts in sort of like do-or-die situations. The problem was it was an absolute disaster on offense. So that really didn't, you know, play a ton of factor into the game. But you're hoping for a similar performance, right? You don't want Saquon Barkley to get really, really going. But at the same time, too, you also need to cover Dallas Goedert and have the ability to, I don't know, create a turnover, create a big moment. I know that's what you're asking for, Bob, whether it's from Chris Jones or somebody else. But they're going to have to, you know, support the offense really, really well in order for this team not to go 0-2.
All right, I'm gonna ask you a question like I'm a father, okay? And I think you'll understand that because you got the two little ones running around as well. I'm looking at Chris Jones last week, out of position, not doing what he's supposed to do, and I'm thinking to myself, aren't you too old to be doing this? Like, haven't we talked about this before? Like, why are we still doing this? You're a teenager now.
Yeah, and I think that's why Drew Tranquil kind of lost his mind in front of all of us. Because he, too, is a father and has kids. And so does Chris Jones. So it's a great analogy where you're just like, we've talked about this. I've showed you. Like, why? Why are you doing this? Why? Now, I get it from Chris' standpoint where he's like, I feel like I got to make a play. I got to make a play. I got to get the ball back to the offense. But it's 3rd and 14. It's not 3rd and 4, right? I think if the situation was different, if it was even 3rd and 7, I would be a little bit more lenient to Chris Jones saying like, hey, I beat my guy one-on-one. You know, I got the matchup I wanted. I created pressure. Hey, if we didn't tackle him, you know, that's too bad. But when it's 3rd and 14, he can't get the first down scrambling when you're the one who flushed him out of the pocket. And I understand why Spags really didn't have a spy, because, again, it's 3rd and 14. Like,
right.
You got to cover people. And he's had issues earlier in the game, you know, covering receivers downfield when they weren't running into one another. So if your coordinator is not going to have a spy, and for one of the few times in the entire game, you cover the receivers, all you got to do is just make the quarterback check it down. You know, and so that is just containing the pocket. I think this will do a really bit of good for the Chiefs, honestly, because those mistakes are just so unusual to what we've come to know this team for the last 3 years, that doing it on a, you know, international stage in the first game of the season, if that can't wake you up and refocus you, then the Chiefs have a lot bigger problems. But I think it will do them a bit of good to be focused against the world champs and know that, like, hey, the Chargers did what they were supposed to do, but you honestly could have played better, and everybody knows that.
this is feels like a game to kind of refocus everybody. Embarrassed in the Super Bowl, embarrassed on national television. We really haven't seen this team embarrassed kind of 2 weeks in a row, if you will, like they kind of have been over the last couple of weeks. I feel like this is one of those games, one of these moments where you kind of refocus and we see maybe that Mahomes of old, if you will, that kind of that Chiefs magic that we're used to, and they come out and they're ready to put on a display because they've been kicked in the nuts all week by everybody.
What a phrase. It's so true. It would be nice if they got off to a fast start. Again, I know it's two games, and I know it's just week one, but it would be really nice if they got a lead. You know, they didn't get a lead in the Super Bowl, and it just sort of snowballed. Obviously, it was basically an avalanche. And then last week, it was like, well, because of the nature of Xavier Worthy's injury, and we pretty much know he's not going to play against the Eagles, but because of the nature of that injury, it was very much like, oh, no, not again. Like, please not again. And, oh, by the way, the Chargers are going right up and down the field. And before you kind of regroup, it's 10-0, right? And a 10-point lead in the NFL is significant. So there are issues that they have, but they got to have a faster start in Arrowhead.
Let me talk about, as we here on 96.5 The Fan, we're talking to Chiefs beat writer for ESPN, Nate Taylor. Nate, let me talk about my biggest problem, and I think it's your biggest problem, and I know it's probably got the fingers cramping up every single game. How about right tackle Juwan Taylor? What is the leash on him? How many times more can he get away with this? The penalty yards, the false starts, the holdings. What's the shelf life of Juwan Taylor?
Ooh, I mean, this has got to be, you know, a real conversation that they're having at like, you know, 11 p.m. Maybe like the custodial staff is gone. You know, there are no players in the facility at this point. And it's really just Coach and Andy Heck, the offensive line coach, and maybe Tom Melvin, tight ends, you know, Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator. And you just say, okay, like, you know, the front office has done us a really nice service of having a legitimate, overqualified sixth offensive lineman. And I know he plays left tackle because he learned under Trip Williams in San Francisco for 4 years. We did have him split reps in training camp at right tackle. So,
right.
Traditionally, ladies and gentlemen, I like to say give your team 4 weeks. Give your team 4 weeks to really understand what's good about the team, what's bad about the team, what actually can be improved from like week five on versus, yep, let's just scrap that from the playbook. It don't look right with this collection of players. But man, given everything we know and given, you know, the knee injury that Juwan Taylor had to play through last year, okay, bud, you're technically supposed to be healthy, but you can't be the most penalized offensive lineman in the league again. You just can't. So now I think I'm in a place where, you know what, guys? We'll see how it goes on Sunday. You know, the starting lineup is not changing for the Eagles. I think the game that really is the spotlight is once again Sunday Night Football in week three against the Giants. And, yep, there's Chris Collinsworth. And I just wonder, guys, like, if it's, again, a standalone game, prime time, no one else, everybody's watching. And, again, the Giants have a pretty good defensive line, yeah, with Dexter Lawrence and all those guys. So, again, not, you know, even though the Giants aren't good, that's a good part of their actual team. Man, if it doesn't improve in the next 2 weeks, for a veteran NFL player who started the majority of his career, I think it's understandable to say, hey, maybe for week four against Baltimore, we just want to see what it looks like with Jalen Moore on the field instead of you. And if that's the course of action we have to go to as like a last resort with Juwan Taylor, then I guess you have to do it. I would usually give a guy 4 weeks, but mm-hmm. It might be three. And he should have no issues on Sunday. I want to make that clear, too. Like, you're at home. The crowd will not be a factor. You're not on a foreign land. You've played this team literally 6 months ago. Like, there's just not a lot of excuses, guys, that I can sort of couch. So, see how it goes on Sunday. If it gets worse or it stays the same Sunday and the following week in New York, then I can't stop the hurt from overtaking the decisions from the coaching staff.
Let's look at the running back position. Didn't get utilized all that much against the Chargers. Do you think we see more utilization of those guys, and do we have enough at that position right now?
Well, you know, fellas, I asked Andy Reid this, and I don't think I made him happy yesterday.
Oh, were you like, the one that asked the question? I said it was Vahe, so I apologize if you were the one that asked the question.
It was me, and I was just like, "Hey, you wanna further?" I think I could have phrased it better, so I'll be accountable, ladies and gentlemen. But I did want to say, hey, okay, everybody, yes, we want to get an update on Worthy, and yes, we want to see what's going on with the offense, and whose responsibility was what, and okay, you don't want to. You know, obviously there's a Super Bowl rematch. But, Coach, what about the running backs? Was basically how right. I started. And I was like, you want to further evaluate that, right? Because you can't really evaluate that with 10 plays or 10 carries between Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. And he was just like, yeah, Nate. And I was just like, thanks, Coach. Cool. You're gonna, okay, I can put it in my notebook. They're going to run the ball more than 10 times to a running back.
Right.
So, They have to, and I think that was one of the few mid-game adjustments they actually missed, because if you look in the second half, once they got into the locker room, boy, that coaching staff got to work. Mahomes, as we know, was excellent. They went, what, touchdown, field goal, and if they get the ball back, we're pretty confident Mahomes is driving down for a game-winning touchdown.
Right.
So they did fine at halftime, but I think in that second quarter, what they could have done was actually run the ball more to just, hey, slow the pace down, get your quarterback comfortable, start figuring out, hey, what is our personnel packages for third down? Let's not have, you know, there's a couple third and tens in the first quarter, early second quarter, and you're like, well, the reason it's third and 10 is because you don't know what receivers is running what routes, because Xavier Worthy was a huge part of the game plan, and you're not handing the ball off to make the game easy or simple for the coaching staff and the quarterback. So, hey, get off to a fast start against the Eagles. You do not want Jalen Carter against Kingsley Suamazaia one-on-one on third and 10. You know how you can mitigate that? Have it be third and 4.
Right.
Run the ball once, or, you know, set up your bubble screens, do your traditional screens to Pacheco or to Kareem Hunt. We all know Andy Reid likes running screen plays. So, hey, give the running game a little bit more variety. You know, trust those guys. I think, you know, Josh Simmons could actually be a better run blocker early in this rookie season than even a pass blocker, which is, I think, saying something, because he actually did pretty well for that to be his first game last week against the Chargers, and of course Khalil Mack. So he wasn't embarrassing. So hey, offensive linemen would like to go forward, especially early in the game, set a tempo, set a intensity, and just mix it up a little bit, and then let Mahomes, you know, carry you in the second half.
Nate, real quick, one or the other, who plays more, Gelati or Rashard Smith?
Ooh, it was up to me, it'd be Gelati.
Okay.
Anybody. Like, if I'm Joe Cullen, I'm screaming at Mike Dana and George Karlaftis specifically. I'll give Charles Omenihu a little bit of a break because, hey, you know,
he's not used to week one.
Yeah, right. Like, hey, you know, we're just happy you're healthy and in uniform, right?
No doubt.
But for Mike Dana and George Karlaftis, nah, man, I got to see better out of you. Because if I don't see better out of you, I'm playing the kid more, right?
No doubt.
He had a couple good stops in the second quarter specifically, and then they didn't really play him in the second half just because, hey, you're a rookie. You know, let's just take this thing slow. But, hey, if there's a chance of us going 0-2, I got to play the kid because he at least showed a lot of power, and he didn't show like that the moment was too big for him, which I think is a big thing. Like, hey, didn't make any mental mistakes, made a couple tackles, pressured the quarterback when he had an opportunity. Hey, we got to see more from Mike Dana and George Karlaftis so that you don't feel the need that you have to play Ashton Gelati too much too soon. But that would be my pick right now.
No doubt. That is Nate Taylor, the Chiefs beat writer for ESPN. Nate, stay safe and have a good one on Sunday. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
Thanks, Nate.
That is Nate Taylor there. Join us every Thursday, 8:20. Coming up on the other side, Chiefs not ready Well, Andy mentioned something on Wednesday. We'll dive into it on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Slapping bass, moving along. Andy mentioned it on Wednesday. I still can't spell it, can't say it. Guys won't show up with no energy again. Kelsey addressed it saying he wasn't ready for the first drive. That's interesting. Well, they better be ready Sunday because not being ready is not an excuse to any of us here on the show.
It's not an excuse to anybody anymore. Like, we heard they weren't ready after the Super Bowl, and then we're hearing the same kind of stuff again, you know, after that game. And listening to Travis yesterday on the New Heights podcast kind of talk about, like, you know, I just wasn't there, or whatever the terminology that he used, and, like, wasn't ready. And I'm like, God, that's 13 years in the league. You can't be saying you weren't ready. And then Andy having to address it at the podium yesterday, I thought was a very kind of eye-opening thing, which makes me feel really good about being a Chiefs fan, is that Andy Reid and the team, they're understanding and they know that they didn't come out with the right attitude. And a lot of playing in these games in the NFL is coming out with that, you know, that right mindset. I mean, I think sometimes when you're in life, no matter what it is that you do and you have success like they've had for a long-term sustained success, sometimes maybe you just think, hey, we're just going to throw our hats out there and we're going to win because we've had this long-term sustained success. And then sometimes you get kicked in the mouth and you realize, okay, we're going to have to change the way that we approach these things. We're going to have to come out fast. We're going to have to come out with a fiery start. We're going to come out with a buzz that we didn't have over these last couple of games. And so that's why I think we're going to see something different on Sunday. I think we're going to see a team that comes out possessed. The coach is pissed, clearly. The tight end is pissed, clearly. The quarterback was pissed after the game from everything I've been told. You had two players yelling at two other players. They're pissed out there. So I just think because everybody is so aggravated with the way that they played, it's time to put your foot in the dirt and say, all right, we're stopping this. That was one. It ain't becoming freaking two out there on Sunday.
Yeah, because, I mean, Mac will tell you as well, like, Travis Kelce was out of position when he hit Xavier Worthy.
Travis admitted to it.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he'll even tell you, like, I wasn't in there. He's injured now because of me, because of the route that I ran. Like, that's a 13-year veteran.
Yeah.
Like, that sort of stuff can happen. And a team that I always think, you know, practices, you know, perfection at best possible in the NFL. That's not been that team the last few times. The last few times that we've seen them play football.
Yeah, it really is. It's not been what we're used to with them. And I think that's why maybe some folks are a little squirmish about what we're seeing right now, because it hasn't been what we've been used to seeing. I think in the last two games, we've seen a team that maybe has taken it for granted a little bit, you know, and that's, look, that's human nature. It happens. They've had so much success. They're used to just winning no matter what happens. They find ways to win games. And maybe having that game in week one instead of, like, remember the Denver game last year, the block field goal, they won that game. We all lost our minds. It was fantastic. Best regular season game I've ever been to. But maybe it would have been better had they lost that game. Maybe they would have gone on and won that Super Bowl. Maybe they would have realized at that point in time, okay, not everything is going to turn out to a win no matter what we do. And maybe they got that wake-up call. Instead of having that wake-up call in week 9 or week 10 against Denver this year, they had it in week 1 against the Chargers. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'd rather have that game in week 1 that puts a stop down to everything, and Andy Reid can say, see, this is what I've been telling you about, as opposed to having a win and them not understanding that they still need to do some things better. And so maybe this is that game, as we've talked about with the KU example before, maybe that's the game that kind of wakes them up and they realize, all right, coach is right. We got to start following what we're supposed to do. I got to do my job. I can't get outside of myself. I'm looking at you, Chris Jones. I'm looking at you, Travis Kelce. Like, the two biggest mistakes of the game were made by two of your three most important players on the field. It's one thing for, you know, Chenault or, you know, whatever his name is to make a mistake.
Chenault.
You know, a rookie to have a mistake, right? Leviticus or whatever that guy's name is who you were talking about only got three plays the other day. Like, if that guy's making mistakes, that's okay. He hasn't played before. But when you have 13-year veteran Travis Kelce not running the right route, and what now 9-year veteran Chris Jones way out of position. That's two of your top three players in this organization, not just currently, but in the history of your organization, making those two big mistakes. Those are the two guys that got to get focused. And I'm glad both of them realize that they made those colossal mistakes, because hearing them both talk about it too is very eye-opening. And everybody else on that roster can go, well, if those two are mitten to effing up, I got to take solace in myself as well, and I can't be effing up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that wake-up call that you mentioned to the Broncos, or that could have happened against the Broncos, that happened to us week one, I agree. I'm glad it happened, because they won all those games last year. It wasn't just the Broncos. Yeah, it was the Chargers.
They won 10 games by a score.
Yes, it was the Ravens. It was, yeah. And not just like by a score. It was like, okay, the craziest things right. just happened for the Chiefs
Raiders
to win.
Raiders fumbled the snap.
Toe out of bounds.
Jamar Chase doink. Has a meltdown. A doink. Yes, all of these things. And we were going, wow, the Chiefs really know how to win games. Part of that's true. But maybe part of me, and this is my... a pessimism leaking in, and you can tell me I'm wrong and crazy and to calm down, and I get it, but
and I will,
and that's fine. But part of me is saying, okay, well, did we misjudge this team from last year because they won a bunch of close games? Were they actually not as good as maybe we all, most of us at least, propped them up to be? And now their issues weren't solved, and here we are, and this team's not going to win 10 one score games.
You know, it's you can legitimately take that any way you want and make a case on both sides, because I would look at that and say, they know how to win close games. They won close games. They got it done. All games in the NFL are close. You could look at it from the other side and say, they got lucky, you know. But I would also look at it, they're also veteran guys. They figured out a way. Like the Denver Bronco win, I don't want to take away from Tube on that
sure.
one. I mean, that's your guy Dave Tube out there, man.
Yeah,
and give Tube credit, too, for getting that field goal team out there.
Oh, that was electric.
I hate to be
I know
the,
that I'm hard.
Yes.
That was amazing.
I hate to be the geek in the room on this one because we got Mac. But like hearing Andy yesterday talk about how they practiced that field goal.
That was awesome.
Like if that doesn't like continue to tell you why they're better than everybody else at what they do, they legitimately practice it. Andy's like, yeah, we need he had it down to a science. And that, like, hearing that yesterday, I'm like, all right, they're back into this thing. I'm getting excited again. They know all the tricks of the trade. They're going to be ready for all these scenarios. They're a great coaching staff. They're going to be fine going against the Philadelphia Eagles. But, like Dave Tobe, man, give him credit for having that. Because I even, you know, kind of took a note on that on Friday, had the game turned out differently, and they won that game. That would have been a huge talking point about how the Chiefs have another advantage over everybody. Because Dave, like two times now in the last calendar year, Dave Tobe has pulled plays out of his pocket. You're like, man, mm-hmm. I don't know if another special teams coach is able to do that.
Yeah. I mean, look, defensive line pressure, offensive line contain. Those are your key factors of the game, in my opinion. I know I've talked about the linebackers. I think they have a huge assignment this weekend, but if the D-line can actually create pressure, it's a domino effect, right? Like, it makes the secondary's job easier. And we know that there are going to be two wide receivers in this game for the opponent that are going to be absolutely able to take over a game, whether it's Smith, whether it's Brown. I think that when you look at this game and you talk about leadership, you talk about being ready, you talk about, you know, pessimism and all this sort of stuff, the trenches is where you win this game this week, and that's what's got to step up. You need to see that rotation. You need to see if that right tackle he gets – I mean, let's call it what it is. Let's say the Chiefs get the ball on the first drive. 3rd and 4. False start. 71. Out.
Out.
74. Yeah, you're out.
You're out.
I don't know what Nate Taylor said. Hey, week four, whatever.
No,
you know, get,
I'm no. with you.
3rd and 4. First drive. False start. 74. Done. Helmet in the locker room. You can stand there and watch, but you're not coming back on
yeah,
the field.
I don't hate that at all.
No.
Because you have a backup. You have an option. You have somebody available,
paying
right?
him a good amount too,
and you're paying the guy, right? So you have an option out there. If I'm Juwan Taylor, I know I can't make one mistake in this game from a pre-snap standpoint or even a holding standpoint.
We'll see how that affects
penalties.
Him mentally.
Yeah, and any sort of penalties,
nothing, everything.
And then you try to play a perfect game. You know what happens? You don't. You end up making mistakes, and it just compounds it, and it gets worse. I'm not willing to wait for week 4 for Juwan Taylor, and I'm a Juwan Taylor fan.
Same.
But if he goes out there and has those pre-snap penalties, sorry, man, you're now hurting 10 other people on the field,
yeah.
76,000 in attendance, and 43 other and players.
You're going to hear a pair of mic hit the ground if that happens.
You're not only affecting the 10 players outside of you on the offensive side, you're putting that defensive side right back out there.
Well, that's the other thing, too. They need a break.
Yeah, dude. Like, and they're going against Jalen Carter and that defensive line and all those guys. Like, you can't go 3 and out, and the reason being because you had 3rd and 4, your favorite down. Can't have 3rd and 4 where you've got so many options, no matter who the wide receivers are, and then you go to 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 9. Yeah. Like, you just can't have that. No. Like, you just.
Because now you're in a huge passing situation and everybody knows.
And then that D line pins their ears back, and Mahomes is doing what he did in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Cannot have 74.
And that's.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Play running the football is so important in this game. Did they run the football in the Super Bowl?
Didn't have time.
They didn't have time. They also didn't have an opportunity because they were down right away.
They didn't get to establish anything. They have to do that. They have to start because the wide receivers won't be able to play beat man coverage either. I mean, they struggle with that with their starters out there. So
no doubt about it. Coming up on the other side, Worthy's going to be out, but who do we think needs to step up? I'm going to give you a name. I'm going to give you a name, Mac, that's going to make you think, hey, Dusty did his homework here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Trey Smith, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.